This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
So now, who's just walked into the studio?
Someone very tall.
Someone tall. I thought he'd be carried in on a sedan chair. Now he's a member of Parliament. Josh Burns, new member for McNamara. Good morning. How are you?
Very, very good morning to you both.
Now, you're going to get some extra time. You know who's on after 11?
Who have we got?
One of your sparring partners.
Tim Wilson.
Tim. Yeah.
Member for Goldstein.
Yeah. So, an adjoining seat, isn't it?
It is. We share a border.
Yeah.
And
is that all you share?
No, there's an unwritten rule in politics. I think the late Tim Fisher, who was a great Australian who passed away this week, gave advice to one of his fellow Nationals that don't ever bag out other people who share local borders with you, because you never know when you're going to need them.
And that's right. There could be a cupcake fight at the cake stall,
or you know, a dunk at the local school fair or something. That Tim might be, you know, an unusually good throw.
Now, the first thing I want to ask Josh is, newly minted MP, so you're elected at the federal election, McNamara, the old seat of Melbourne Ports, held by Michael Danby for 4.5 centuries. How does it feel? Because you were previously, you worked in the Premier's office as a senior advisor. You're now an MP, and so you've got, you know, you've now got staff yourself, but the Canberra environment and moving up there. But first question is, do you have to go to class as a new MP? So you, they show you where the toilets are, I suppose you know where that is, but all the other little intricacies of the Parliament. Well,
probably clearing out Danby's files would be quite a big job.
Months worth, God, because Danby is a bit of a hoarder, you know.
Classified, all of the files.
Classified.
So it's very interesting. Also, Macca, while I've got you, I'm not the only one who's had a recent election victory as well. El Presidente, congratulations.
Thank you.
We actually had two different pre-Parliament sessions. One was with the Labor Party and one was with the clerks of the Parliament.
All right.
And so the clerks of the Parliament had sort of 2 days where they said, well, here are all the ways in which we can be helpful. Here's the ways in which the House works and some different things you might want to know as an MP. Really, really helpful. And then the Labor Party brought us in for a couple of days and said, here are all the ways you can bugger it up and don't do that. So it was a great contrast. But we did do a few days of that. And no, it's been a really amazing few months. It's only been 3 months since the election, and you know, to be honest, that night was a big contrast. On one hand, you know, my life changed, and it was a pretty proud night for my team and everyone who put in so much work locally. And I was really, really pleased that we got a great result. But it was shattering. It was a shattering night where I wasn't just disappointed for the Labor movement, for Bill, but for all of the local institutions that were going to benefit, and all of the different things that a Labor government
including
was going to mean.
Including Joy.
Including Joy
and
FM.
And the Pride Centre.
Yeah, absolutely. $10 million for the Pride Centre and $600,000 to help Joy move in there and go digital. And I'm sure Joy will find another road. But you know, that was among a number of really great things that we were going to be able to do, that were going to make a big impact. And Joy does so much, and we were going to have its back, and it was something I was really proud of. But we have to go back to the drawing board. We have to be humble. We have to work out what we did really well, because we did do some things really well in this last election. We won 68 seats, which is, you don't want to say a competitive loss, but we're only 5 seats away. The government only has a majority of one. And we need to make sure that we're ready to go so that they don't stay in government one day longer than the next election.
Josh, how is it moving from being someone who's reasonably powerful in the background to being the face of the seat?
I think being reasonably powerful in the background was one of the nicest ways to describe my previous roles.
I was trying to be diplomatic.
Yeah, very nice. I mean, I was in the background. Look, it is different, and there are definitely benefits for being in the back, and you know, you get probably more weekends.
Do you think you get more done with your face out there or behind the scenes, or you're not been there long enough to figure that out yet?
I'm very conscious that, like in any new job, you know, it takes a little while to get to know what it takes, and I'm only 3 months into a new job, and I need to get a lot better at it. I'm still a new person in my job, working out all of the different things that it entails, and there are a lot of demands on my time right now. But I think being a member of Parliament is a huge privilege, and we get access to things that can make a big difference. And if done properly, being a member of Parliament is a really important and powerful position. Not so much for my own power, but for the change that it can make to people's lives. And I've got a bit of a taste of that, and yeah, I'm really excited for the things to come.
Who do you sit next to in the House?
Patrick Gorman, who's the federal member for Perth.
Yep.
And he's been very good at making, you know, sort of giving me louder and softer instructions. He did win in the by-election.
And also at the federal
That's
election.
Right, yeah. He won when Tim Hammond resigned because of, you know, he had three young kids and the demands. I mean, the demands going to Canberra is huge. It's a big part of your life, and it's one of probably the most difficult parts of my job, having a young family. But
I was just going to ask, how do you negotiate that part of it? Because, you know, you're actually out of town a lot now. And you've got quite a young daughter?
I've got a beautiful baby girl who's one and a bit. And, yeah, being away from her is difficult. Mac is just showing me paraphernalia for his...
But mine's different to yours.
What are we looking at, Macca?
This is
terrible
good
radio. Yeah,
good radio.
Yeah, good radio.
So
no,
Mac is showing me some of his... entrance passes into some of the lounges at the airport.
Which you now get, you see.
I've got a couple, which I never used to have. I'm doing more flying. I've just got back from Papua New Guinea as well, so
yes.
You can, which was an amazing place, and one where there's lots to learn, and I'm sort of, you know, lots of things to unpack about that trip. But
what was the key takeaway over in PNG?
That Australia can have a huge impact in that country, a really positive impact, but we can't take our position in that country for granted. And China also is interested in Papua New Guinea, and they're going to try and exercise more influence in that region. And it's in Australia's interest to remain really close friends with Papua New Guinea, and we need to earn that respect.
Josh, religious freedom.
Mm.
This is a fairly hot discussion point. We're going to be talking to Tim Wilson about that after 11 as well from the government side. Tell us your perspective and the Labor Party's perspective. We know you haven't seen the bill yet.
Mm.
I think the consultations haven't really started with the opposition. But what are your thoughts?
It's a really interesting issue. And I think let's take a big rewind for the first bit. And remember, just prior to the Wentworth by-election, where the Prime Minister decided to commit to removing the ability for schools to discriminate against LGBTIQ kids. And of course, we haven't seen that promise fulfilled. And
he's forgotten that one.
Yeah, he's forgotten that one, which is a really disappointing policy failure. Absolutely, from the government. And so that sort of cascaded into the sort of other faction of the Liberal Party calling for religious freedoms and almost a bill of human rights for the ability for religious organisations to be able to discriminate. And I think that the government is deeply divided in this whole issue, and they have probably people like Tim who are on one end of the debate, and people who are, you know, like Barnaby Joyce and Craig Kelly, who are probably on completely other side of the debate. And as a result, Christian Porter, the Attorney General, is sort of
to balance that.
Yeah, which is a pretty difficult thing. So I'm hearing, and you're right, we haven't seen the bill. I'm hearing that what we're looking at right now is something a lot more narrow, which would ultimately be another sort of exemption in the Discrimination Act, which would basically mean that you couldn't discriminate against someone on for their religious beliefs. But that's a different prospect to then being able to use your religious beliefs in order to discriminate against someone else. So, you know, it's sort of a, it's not a deflecting tactic. The reality is we need to see what the bill is in order to make a judgment. I would have a huge problem supporting anything that allowed a religious organisation to discriminate against an LGBTIQ kid, for example. You know, my family, we're a Jewish family, and we've seen what it's like to be in a country where you don't have freedom of religion. We do have freedom of religion in this country, and it's a great thing. We should have freedom of religion. It's something that we should always be protecting, but at the same time, I don't think we have a greater need in this country to be able to discriminate against people on the basis of their gender, sexuality, or race, or religion, for that matter. I think that the balance is probably right, and it's only really the extreme views in the Liberal Party that are calling for further reform in this.
Well, you know, Barnaby Joyce and others, see Barnaby's involving himself in the decriminalisation of abortion debate in New South Wales. The New South Wales Nationals, some of them are saying they want to expel him from the party. Oh, could you imagine him as a free... As a free-ranging backbencher, the beetrooter rolling down the stairs of Parliament.
He's a fascinating character in the halls of Parliament.
I thought you were going to say something else.
Barnaby. So I don't really know Barnaby that at all. Really, I've only sort of grumbled at me when we walked past in the corridor, but. The way I understand Barnaby Joyce is that he is absolutely desperate to retake the leadership of the National Party. He doesn't want to be an independent backbencher flailing around like Bob Catter. He wants to be the Deputy Prime Minister.
He's not really reading the room, though, is he?
I think.
Does anybody want that?
Well, I think Barnaby was able to get to the Deputy Prime Ministership because of doing things like this. I think he was able to be the rogue, lovable, you know, maverick. And he'd take up whatever issue would get him there, as deplorable as, you know, the ones he's taking up right now. So I think Barnaby's looking for attention. I think he's very good at getting attention. And, you know, make no mistake about it, all of this attention grabbing is his attempt to...
And, of course, the money to be leader of the National Party and Deputy Prime Minister wouldn't hurt. You know, he is struggling on 200 grand a year.
He's got a lot of kids now.
There's a lot of mouths to feed in the Joyce households.
You know, the beetroot, whatever the fertiliser is in that field, the beetroot is pretty prolific.
Josh,
eating a lot of yams, I think.
Yeah.
Josh, I'm interested in your take on the current, what I see is the current Conservatives trying to recast themselves as victims of things like religious freedom, you know, there's a lot of talk about they're being attacked here and there for their views, and just interested in your take on that.
I think that politics in Australia has been deeply affected by politics in the United States, and the Republican movement in the United States has, for better or worse, dramatically changed the political landscape, how we talk about issues. And, you know, you often hear the most powerful man in the world talk about how he's a victim of, you know, bias and fake news and all the other things that he's a victim. And I think it's seeping into our politics as well. It's a very clever tactic by the Conservatives, and they're very good at it. I think we need to be wary too much of victim calling from very, very powerful people. Ultimately, they are very, very powerful, and it's a political play most of the time.
And not going to be less powerful anytime soon, let's be honest. It's not like, you know, by next Thursday, the white middle-aged men of Australia are suddenly going to be at the bottom rung of the patriarchy. We're not going to suddenly wake up to a matriarchy on Friday and that sort of thing. It's
probably not. No, but I think that, you know, going back to something like religious freedom, I think that we don't have a problem with religious freedom in this country. We have amazing religious freedom in this country. My family has seen what it looks like when you don't, and that's not what we have in Australia. People are free to practice their religion, their beliefs, and that's something that we should hold dear in our country. But at the same time, I think what some people in the Liberal Party and the Conservative movement are calling for is not freedom of religion. It's freedom to discriminate on the basis and using their religion in order to justify discrimination. And I don't think that's going to make Australia a better place.
Of course, I think that changes, anything around the religious freedom laws, it should be covered under the Franchising Act.
I might leave that as a comment.
You might leave that as a... we're going to go in a sec, Josh, but if you can think of it, who's the most interesting MP that you've met since you've been up there? Is, you know, Bob Catter, is he...
Oh, Bob's just...
The mad catter.
He's off on his own tangent. Look, I've been amazed at there are some people in that I've gotten to know pretty well at once becoming an MP who you really appreciate how honest and raw and genuine they are. Mm-hmm. Tanya Plibersek's probably one person who I would put in that category of someone who, she's just a genuine person who really cares about our country and has put so much of her time and effort into making it better. And yeah, if we can sort of take that example of being thoughtful and caring.
And on the other side?
it's a big list. The thing I'm amazed is sort of how many members of the sort of Queensland Nationals I just don't recognise. They all sort of blend into one sort of mould in a grey suit. I'm 3 months in. It's a huge privilege, and I've got a long way to go. I've got to get a lot better at becoming an MP. Yeah. I'm going to keep my head down and work as hard as I can in order to do it.
Well, we hope you can become a regular guest, Tim Wilson. We hope to have on regularly. So
maybe I'll come back with Tim. I'd be very
happy.
Actually,
that'd be good. We'll get Tim if you're listening. If you're not out,
he's definitely listening.
He's probably walking the pugs. Tim, you and Josh can come in and have it. We'll get you to co-host. I'll actually sit at the sidelines.
We'll interview you, Mac.
1 hour of the show. There you go. There's the
that'd be lovely.
There's the challenge.
Sounds
Josh
good.
Burns, thank you. Thank you for making your time on a Saturday. I know how busy it is.
It's my pleasure.
We look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Anytime.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.